Hello and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. I'm your host Akhil Arora, and today we're going to talk about all things Windows 11 with two amazing guests. I have Shubham Raheja.
Hey, Akhil.
And I have Jagmeet Singh.
Hey, Akhil.
Great to have you guys. Before we dive into all the stuff about Windows 11, I want to address something which, like, I mean, I guess we should have been addressed like 5-6 years ago. I'm sure people did it. Well, why does no one care about the number 9? Like, Windows had no Windows 9. iPhone, there was no iPhone 9. Why do people keep going from 8 to 10 and then 11 as if like nothing happened after that? Why did they just jump one number? What is the deal with the 9?
Hey, I have no idea. I'm clueless.
Clearly, I've stumbled onto a conspiracy theory that no one cares about. Okay, moving on. What is the big deal with Windows 11? Can you tell us, Jagmeet?
Yeah, so the experience that has started with Windows 11, it's more around the interface. We've seen a lot of changes in Windows 10 when we saw what it had when we are comparing with Windows 8. But the Windows 11 is more around the interface changes that we have on board. There aren't any underlying changes in terms of the performance that we saw on Windows 10.
Right.
So some people might have considered it like an update, like a point update, like 10.5 or something like that.
Mm.
And that would be the reason that people have considered it like a point update, not the exact number update like Windows 10 had. But there are a lot of changes, like the start menu has moved to center and we have a lot of animation effects. There are a lot of sound effects that are on board. Startup sound is now all changed and we don't have that "Hey Cortana" thing there. That was an angle.
Given up on Cortana, clearly, right?
Yeah, true. And also Skype was something that was there on Windows 10 and it was there quite a lot. Like we saw that on the start menu, it was there integrating the taskbar as well. And now we have Teams there. So it's more like Microsoft is doing something.
Oh God, why does Microsoft keep trying to make Teams happen?
Yeah, so it's more around persuading people to use Teams over Skype. This is something that their strategy that to build audience across their platforms, like what they've introduced with Teams that are not on Skype. So it's more around taking on Zoom and Google Meet and all. So this is around their strategy to make people connected to their friends and loved ones at the time when they are staying home indoors and all. So this is one of their strategies that they are playing right now with Microsoft Teams integration in Windows 11 as well. Since they don't have exact users in terms of getting on board when we are comparing it with Zoom and Google Meet. So with integrating Teams into Windows 11 is something that I think is something to reach out to the consumers who are actually using Windows. So this would help them enhance the interface and the experience that they're offering through Teams over time as they'll get more feedback from the consumers there.
I actually have something to add to the Teams bit. For now, we may think that Teams is something that not a lot of people use. But as far as I can remember, a lot of colleges actually use Teams.
Right.
Obviously, they do have, different tie-ups with different companies, Google, Microsoft. But then my ex-college still uses Teams, which means at least 28,000 kids at a point of time right now who are studying from home are using Teams all the time. So that's just a little bit of a, addition that I would like to add. And a lot of other corporate places are also using Teams, in my opinion. So I guess that would be not that dumb of a move from Microsoft, but...
Right, but how do you feel about why is the star put in the center now? Like, the only line I've heard about this from like Microsoft's like mouth is that we are putting you at the center of everything, and that's the dumbest marketing line I've ever heard.
I mean, yeah, we all have that instinct to go on the left side of the screen as Windows users to...
I mean, I just press the star button, but okay. You do
exactly.
You, Shubham.
But I use my entire taskbar on the right side. So I really don't care about where exactly the Windows button is. You can obviously put it on left side, center, whatever. But I did see a few influencers trying to tweak it around. I think it was Dave2D or someone who tried to, make your entire Windows experience look much cleaner in one of his videos. And he tried to put it in the center. And a lot of comments also said the same thing, that, okay, that's not something that I'm very comfortable with.
You think this is just like aping like macOS is like whatever they call it, dock?
I think so.
Right. I mean, that's not the only thing they're copying, right, Jagmeet?
Yeah, obviously. And on that start menu thing, what we've seen from what Microsoft is giving a justification for why they move from left to the center, they are trying to actually making the experience faster, since what, as Shubham mentioned as well, that what we are seeing with the left hand side Windows button or the start menu thing, we need to move mouse around a lot. And for making it to the center, this is something that approach has been there for quite some time for Mac users, and it's there across a lot of Linux distros as well, and Chrome OS also has the same approach. So what Microsoft is trying to do is to make experience faster and give people less distance on average when they are moving the mouse pointer. So this is something that they are trying to do with the center align start menu, that we can say.
Am I reading too much into this, or is there actually, I thought like the first time I heard about it, I thought this was like more of like, you know, Windows trying to be like, let's design an OS that works across devices, right? Not just like for keyboard and mouse devices, but like they have stuff like Surface, which is like supposed to be sometimes used with touch, although I don't know who does that. But like for devices like that, where you're sometimes using them in tablet modes, it doesn't make sense to have like a start menu on the left, right? You would, especially if you're holding it vertically, it's just, you are used to being things being in the center. Or is that not the guideline here?
Yeah, true. They are actually providing a lot of changes for the touch interfaces as well. But
right,
what they are doing with the start menu is more towards convincing people who are actually using Windows for quite some time to be at the center and start using Windows, just like what they saw people using Mac OS and Chrome for quite some time.
Okay, great. So the other big change, I think, which is like sort of the headline feature almost, is that there you can run Android apps now.
Yeah, it's there on board. But again, on that front, they haven't provided any details about whether we can do that directly by installing APK files, which is there on Android for quite some time. Like on an Android phone, you just need to install an app directly from an APK file. It's not there.
Right.
We don't have any clarity whether it would be there on Windows 11 through any particular support integrated system. Like what they've announced is two things. They've mentioned about the Amazon App Store, which is there on board.
Hmm.
And they are also announcing Intel Bridge, which is a partnership between Microsoft and Intel that is to enable Android app support on Windows. Again, we don't have any details whether that would be there exclusively on Windows 11 or whether it would be a part of Windows ecosystem, like we would get that support on Windows 10 as well over time.
Yeah, I feel like that's like Microsoft is not going to do that. I feel like they're going to sort of, if you want like Android apps, I feel like they're going to use that almost like a convincing like bait thing, like come to Windows 11 to get this feature, right?
True, obviously. And we've also seen that they are improving the Microsoft Store part. So that improvement, we may see some sort of improvements that are there on Windows 11. Specifically, that would also be a part of Windows 10. But again, that update would take some time to reach Windows 10 users, as Microsoft would want people to go to Windows 11 instead of sticking to Windows 10, what we can say.
Right.
I'd like to add one more thing, that when it comes to installing Android apps from the Windows Store, there's actually an added step. You're supposed to be logging into the Amazon Store the first time you want to install any kind of an Android app, and then you're supposed to go forward. So it's not just one thing in which you're supposed to log in, that is your Windows or, you know, live account or anything, but then there's another added
log into your Amazon account as well.
Exactly. And I don't know how that will work out when it comes to just, you know, sharing your data with another third party. Another thing that I'm really excited about is that apparently it does support Win32 apps as well.
Oh.
So maybe some old school games would be coming.
Yeah. I think that the reason they're doing the whole Amazon app thing is like it's almost like Windows is like taking the moment right now where Apple is stuck in this legal battle with Epic Games and almost like trying to turn it on their head and be like, we are opposite, like we'll allow everyone here. They're literally like even saying that, right? You can either opt to use like our commerce, where you sort of have to only pay a 15% cut. Again, they're doubting that because most stores take 30%. And then where they're like, oh, you don't even have to do that. If you have your own like sort of payment methods, you can essentially just like come onto our store but still have your entire revenue with you.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest attractive features of the Windows Store now, because I think it's a very big incentive for the developer. If they are making an app, it's the best thing to get all the kind of revenue that they are getting from an app store.
Yeah, like now there's like no need to sort of like have to sort of incentivize your customers to go to your website, right? Like that's the reason why Netflix or whatever, like every developer would sort of throw you to the website, because they're like, oh, we need all the cart. But like,
yeah, and the user experience used to be so bad of these apps, right? Like especially Netflix on the Windows Store app, it used to be really bad. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good thing.
And how do you feel about the new look, Shubham?
I don't know, the glass thing, it's a mixed
it's
bag.
Like, it's reminding me of like Vista days, which is not a good reminder, right?
But like, I think it's a modern look. I like the way that they have kept the, you know, roundedness of the corners to a minimum, which kind of resembles Mac in a lot of ways. One thing that I'm not a fan of is the fact that they had this massive opportunity to, you know, fix the entire system of changing settings. Now what is happening is, I think starting from Windows 8, if I'm not wrong, we have two ways to change our settings. The smaller settings are changed from the settings app. The major bigger settings are supposed to be changed by going from the control panel. That's the most annoying thing anyone can do. Right?
Yeah.
You don't remember how to change a simple thing like how to change your DNS, right? So you have to go online, you have to search, at times you forget. So yeah, those things should have been fixed, but well, they dropped the ball in this particular version of Windows.
Yeah, it's also, I think sometimes Microsoft is like stuck in this whole like backward compatibility scenario, right? Like they don't want to break things by not like excluding features from like older Windows operating systems, which is why like Windows, like when you see it, even 10, like I haven't seen 11, but if you see 10, like it looks 10 on like a surface level, but if you click too many buttons, it becomes Windows 7. If you click more buttons, it becomes Windows XP in some corners.
Oh yeah, that's the best way to put it, especially if you go inside, dig a little deeper inside the Explorer, you will see all of those, you know,
all the windows are like hanging around like
it's
together.
It's like vestigial organs everywhere.
Right, so since we're on this like Windows journey into the past, can we talk about how users of the past are going to be supported? Jagmeet?
Yeah, so we saw a lot of things that has been Microsoft has been doing for quite some time across all Windows platforms that they had since Windows 8, I guess, or Windows 7, what we can say. So what they provided, a lot of support for hardware, like the driver support was there for almost all the major manufacturers that are there in the market. And they are providing a lot of support to developers, as Shubham has mentioned, the Win32 thing. It's something new, of course, but we haven't seen any underlying changes across board when we are comparing Windows 11 with Windows 10. And when we are looking at the entire ecosystem that Microsoft has built for many years now. So one of the reasons that why they are not providing that much changes to the underlying structure of the Windows ecosystem is that they are just avoiding the Windows Vista fiasco, what we can say, that they mentioned, they actually acknowledged that they had a problem with Windows Vista at that time, and they don't want to repeat that history. But in terms of supporting users with all the drivers and with all the support of apps, they are doing a good job when we are comparing with Chrome OS especially, and when we are comparing with Mac OS as well across some points, as Mac OS is also lagging behind when we are comparing it with Windows when it comes to installing apps.
Yeah, Mac loves breaking compatibility, right? Like, couple of years ago, like basically they threw out all 32-bit apps out of like compatibility.
Yeah, so at that end, Microsoft is doing a good job, of course. But what they are doing is that they are not making any changes underlying. So this is their strategy, of course. And this is something that's different when we are comparing Microsoft with Apple. Apple is doing a lot across the board, like they are doing a lot in terms of enhancing the performance. At the same time, they are enhancing the experience. And this is something that Microsoft is avoiding. This is, of course, to make things simpler and to avoid any issues with the new Windows update that we are seeing here.
Now, I think while that is true for the average Joe, I think when it comes to a gamer, there are a lot of things that are changing. We got like direct storage and we got auto HDR, two very important changes that would change the way probably we game on Windows machines. So what exactly is direct storage? Nowadays we are playing a lot of multiplayer games, right? We have to be constantly connected to the internet. Let's take the example of, let's say, Call of Duty Warzone, right? So you download a shaders patch or anything that has something to do with your graphics processing unit, it comes on your system, it lodges onto your system from the internet in a compressed manner, right? Because it's wasteful to send any kind of data across the internet uncompressed, because this file size is going to be big. So now the cool thing with direct storage is that even if you have uncompressed data coming in, you can directly feed it to your GPU without having any kind of a lag when it comes to uncompressing it and then, you know, putting it. Another very cool thing is Auto HDR. It says that you are going to find some improvements in color depth and color range, and something that I'm looking forward to, especially.
Yeah. Microsoft brought this first to this Xbox consoles. Now that Xbox console ka OS and the Microsoft Windows OS is so similar, I think they can easily bring features from one to the other.
But how has the experience been with Auto HDR? Was there like a very nice visible change?
I haven't seen much because I only like saw that during the review process of the Series X. But like, it's not something like filmmakers are ever like happy with, right? Because I mean, this is different for game, but like the reason I'm starting with the filmmakers is because the editor or a cinematographer has, if they don't sit down to like figure out key, oh, this is the HDR version of this color, they're obviously not going to be like, oh, the software is doing it. But I think games, it's slightly more of a leeway, I guess, although I'm sure even game directors might not be happy about all of this. But it does mean that if you have a fancy TV with HDR, and if you're still playing older games where game designers have not sat down to do those processing, then at least you can be happy with the fact that your TV car features are being used. So I think the question I had embarked on, which didn't get really answered, was what is happening with, you know, people who are on Windows 7, 8? I mean, I don't think anyone's on 7 at this point, but Windows 8.1 and 10, like what is...
Hey, that's not true. I'm still on Windows 7 on Mac.
Oh, why? You're still getting support for it? Or didn't support die?
You don't even have to support it. It'll still run if you don't connect it to the internet.
Fair enough. So, yeah, what is happening to everyone who's on Windows 7, 8.1 and 10, including Shubham?
Yeah, so what Microsoft has told us that they are bringing, of course, to Windows 10 users by the end of this year only as a free upgrade. Again, we have...
But not everyone, right?
Yeah, again, that's what I was saying.
Caveat. Asterisk.
Yeah. Obviously. So they have a minimum requirement, which is again not clear so much. What we have right now is that they are bringing it to Gen 7, at least to Gen 7 computers, Intel Gen 7.
Okay.
And of course they are not bringing it to people who have 2 GB of RAM, which isn't much at this moment, but there are a lot of people.
I don't think anyone has 2 GB RAM.
Yeah, there are a lot of people from the past who were using netbooks and some small laptops that had 2 GB RAM.
Yeah, but the moment you open a browser today, like the browser alone will take 2 GB, so I don't think you can run a system.
True. And for the Windows 7, we tried to get an answer from Microsoft on that, since we saw some reports that were mentioning about some files in the background that were supporting Windows 7 as well, that were hinting at the Windows 7 support. And Microsoft told us that they don't have any plans at this moment to bring it to Windows 7 computers directly, though people can opt for Windows 10 license and then they can move to Windows 11. That's a fair straightaway workaround that people can do by themselves.
Right.
And the company is not actually providing any support from their side. And in 2022, what we've seen that customers on Windows 7 would get Windows 11 at retail, and that would be installed on those computers directly. So this means that Windows 7 may get Windows 11 upgrade, but that won't be a free upgrade. That's there, at least from what company is providing to us, that they won't provide any free upgrades to people who are on Windows 7, 8, and 8.1 is something that's not there even in terms of share. So people on 8.1 are not likely to get Windows 11 right away.
Right. And there's an extra like hardware requirement, Shubham, right? Like, can you sort of talk about that TPM, whatever thing that is, which I don't understand at all?
Yeah, so TPM is not total productivity management. It's actually trusted.
I would have bought anything you said, like, but you could have fooled me, but yeah. Go on.
Damn it. Oh, yeah. Okay. All the MBA aspirants would be really, you know, happy with that joke. Anyway, so it's basically trusted platform module. It comes in the form of a chip. Now, the interesting thing over here is that you don't have to be that skeptical about your system not having it. So most of the laptops that were made, I think, at least in India after 2014, are guaranteed to have the TPM, the supported TPM chipset. Now,
I think my machine might be on like the cross, like literally on the line, 2014, maybe it's 2013, man. Whatever, carry on.
Okay, so I'm only talking about laptops.
Right.
When it comes to assembled computers, that's where the problem comes, because that's when you're starting to build your entire motherboard and you're adding things to it, right? So that's why people were starting to hoard on these things. They were scalping TPM 2.0.
Oh, wow.
And there was a massive shortage. The entire price of that just, you know, skyrocketed just a day after, you know, Windows 11 was announced. Now, the difficult thing when it comes to TPM 2.0 is checking whether or not your system has it. So all you have to do is just, you know, go to the Windows start button, then go into run, or just Windows and R, that will open up the run menu. And then you're supposed to put in a command called tpm.msc.
Right.
So that will actually tell you if you have TPM 2.0 or not. And if you don't, then which version do you have? Now, even if you do have TPM 2.0, this is the important thing, there are chances that you won't be able to upgrade to Windows 11. Why? Because you have to turn it on using your BIOS. And that's the...
What the hell?
Yeah, that's a very annoying pain in the posterior thing.
Yeah, no one should have to ever go into a Windows BIOS in their life.
And the worst thing, now this is adding insult to injury, even if you go into BIOS, you won't find TPM. There is no mention of TPM. Instead, you have either FTPM or what Intel calls it IPTT, which is Intel Identity Protection Technology. It's the same thing. So, yeah, this is the thing that will take a lot of time to get used to. And I really hope that Windows or Microsoft really makes it easier for end consumers to upgrade.
Yeah, anything that like says the word BIOS, I think you've lost like 99.5% of the crowd. Right, so we've covered like what people will be left out and the troubles of upgrading to it. The people who can upgrade, what is the process for them and how long do they have to wait?
So Microsoft has said clearly that people would get the update, that free upgrade, by the end of this year. We'll also see devices that are coming now with Windows 10. They'll get Windows 11 upgrade, and manufacturers would start providing some labels or some details that they are giving updates from their end by the end of this year only. And what Microsoft had initially provided, the PC Health Check app, that's no longer there on board, but they'll of course provide it after some time when the update would be there available for the consumers to download. So these are some of the details that Microsoft has provided, and people who really want to test the experience, who really want to check, they can certainly go ahead and then install that Windows Insider build today. But again, we want to highlight this part that the initial build has a lot of bugs, and Microsoft has also highlighted some of them and also mentioned that there are some features that are
needed. I mean, these builds are meant for like developers, right?
Yeah, for testing purposes only. Yeah. And that's not there for people who actually want to see Windows 11 on their primary computers. This is for testing purposes.
Yeah, it's not a public beta, is that what you're saying? Obviously. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And for the people who are on Windows 10, as we mentioned earlier, that we don't have any clarity whether the system that you are running on Windows 10 at this moment would get Windows 11 upgrade right away by the end of this year. You need to keep on checking what people are reporting on minimum requirement things. Like Microsoft initially provided that it's coming to the systems that are on Intel 8th gen processors, and they then mentioned when they announced the Windows Insider build that they'll provide it, Intel Gen 7 would also get that support. And now we may see some differences at the minimum requirement level as well in the coming future, but that won't be any major changes. So this is what they are providing right now.
Right, and are there any versions as well in Windows 11? just like Windows 10 had versions?
They are SKUs, as Microsoft told us that there are multiple SKUs like Windows 7, Windows 10 had Microsoft Windows 10 Home and Pro editions.
Hmm.
So we'll get the same kind of SKUs this time.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are the differences between these different versions? I've never been able to
understand. I think it's mostly due to like on a like a IT security level, but I might be wrong here.
Yeah. So it's more around the enterprise thing. If you have an enterprise version, so you may go for the Pro version and you'll get better workforce or IT support from your end. So that's what Microsoft is providing particularly.
What is Ultimate?
Yeah. So there are a lot of tools that are there for enterprise customers that you can integrate into your system through the Pro version, which is not there for the home consumers. But again, the share that the market share that we have is for home. Of course, Microsoft is not providing any details on the share part, but what we have on board from all the third-party data providers is the home is what's leading right now, and Pro is, of course, not there at par with that version.
I guess that's a very interesting topic for making an explainer video.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds to me that home is like generally good enough for most people, right?
Yeah, home is for the masses, of course.
Is there any feature like which we've talked about that you guys feel like is you wanted with Windows 11, you missed, were missing it in Windows 10, and you're like, why is it not here?
Yeah, I just told you settings and control panel.
Yeah. Which is like sort of like a tweak thing. It's not really a new feature thing, right?
Yeah.
Jagmeet, do you have any?
Yeah, it's all there. The start menu is there. So being able to start the Windows.
Snapping Windows is there. That's something I really like. Because we as content creators and producers are like always on multiple tabs in Windows. And I just really like that.
Oh, yeah, they're also getting that, like, yeah, that's what I think I said, that sort of almost subconsciously, that Mac thing, is that they're also copying those desktop things, right? You can have like a work desktop, you can switch to a personal desktop and all that.
Technically, Mac copied Windows in the previous generation, snapping.
Oh, okay. Like, when did Windows have different home pages?
Oh, yeah, that's a really cool one. So we can actually change the wallpaper on different home pages. So you don't have to be disoriented if you're moving from your office workplace on your system to your home workplace.
Right.
Which I tend to get really disoriented about on my system. So that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's something new. And they also brought that snap layouts. So that's again something that would enhance multitasking experience on Windows 11.
Although, yeah, I guess that really depends on like the size of the device you're working on. Like if it's like, if you just have like a laptop, and if you go for like a four window in one option, you're not going to see much after you choose that.
True. So all in all, what I discovered from that Windows 11 announcement is that they actually consider a lot that work from home culture right now. So they try to do a lot for those people who are working from home, remote people, remote working people. So they are bringing a lot of support for those people. Like we have multiple monitor support. Like a lot of people are using multiple monitors while they are working from home.
Right.
So they have integrated. Yeah. And this is something. And that's called Snap Groups.
Oh, yeah. Like it'll make sure like the windows that you're open will only open in that expanded version. Yeah. It won't open in when you sort of unplug the monitor, right?
Yeah. And I saw a lot of people complaining about that on Windows system, especially that they were not able to connect multiple monitors when they wanted to do something on their computers. And then when they disconnect the monitor and then when they connect it again, then they see some error. Yeah. So that's again, that's something that they've improved this time. Maybe they will improve over time through new updates as well.
All right. I guess that does it then. Thank you so much, Shubham and Jagmeet, for joining us and talking to us about all things Windows 11.
You're welcome, man. I feel so proud that I talked about this.
Yeah, our pleasure.
All right. That's all for this episode of Orbital. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Gadgets360. You can write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And we'll see you with a new episode next week.